In Shemoneh Esrei, so Hirsch mentions that obviously Shemoneh Esrei is
recording.
Sorry? Yes. Yes. Yes, I just pressed record. Thank you. So first of all, Anshei Knesset Agdola, who wrote Shemoneh Esrei, this is really the core of all of Tefillah. Everything we did till now, all the brachas, Sukkot Zimra, Birchas Kriya Shema, everything was really getting to this moment. But the center of everything we do in Tefillah is our Shemoneh Esrei. And when they wrote our Shemoneh Esrei, it was Keneged Temidim. They wrote it parallel to the Karban Tamid that we did in the Beis Hamikdash. There was no Ma'ariv Karban, but there were Hector Imurim. But there was, in the morning we had the Karban Tamid, in the afternoon, at the end of the day, we had another Karban Tamid. And Chazal tell us that Keneged Temidim, parallel to these Karban Tamids, is where they designed Shemoneh Esrei. And I'm going to show you, Be'ezus Hashem, tonight, exactly how Shemoneh Esrei parallels to the Karban Tamid and the different parts of that. And he points out also there's a Mishnah in the Seches Tamid. He's going with the Rambam, the Machlekes, a little bit about how to understand this Mishnah, but it's Perkei, it's the first Mishnah in Tamid, which says that a lot of other things were there as part of the Avodah, at least in the second Beis HaMikdash, and that was Ritzei, was actually in. They had Ritzei there too. Obviously, it didn't have the exact same words, because we talk about Hashem rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, the Sechazen Einein of Ashur Chalitzim Barachamim. We don't ask Hashem to return to Tzion when he was there at the time, when there was a second Beis HaMikdash. But it was a similar bracha asking Hashem. It's actually one of the versions of that bracha is what we say by, what's the Lashon? When they duchen, Sh'oso Levadcha, Nir Lavod, something like that, right? What's the Lashon? Something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Levadcha, Nir Lavod.
Yeah. So that's one of the versions of what we concluded would say with back in the old days. There was another version too, but it was to accept our karbonis. But it was a similar nusach, other than the concluding with the addition about please bring back the Beis HaMikdash. So in the Maseches Tamid, it talks about Avarava was included in, according to the Gemara, there it says the Heim Barchu, and they say it's Avarava. That was there at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Shema, because there was a little shul at the side, and there was a minyan going on simultaneous, or a little before, a little after the Karban. Vayom Shemoa, Vayomer, they said Emesu Yatsiv. All of that was going on at the Beis HaMikdash. It was also all around there were little shuls all around around Eretz Yisrael, where there was simultaneous around the same time as the Karban Tamid. They were also saying certain tefillas, including Shemoneh Esrei. But in the Beis HaMikdash, all of this was going on too. So just be aware of that. So Keneged Tamid, but also was designed very similar to the structure ultimately that came out in Asidah. So, okay, here's what I want to share with you that's going to be the blueprint of how we're going to understand Shemoneh Esrei. So there's three parts to Karbanos. Every Karban has this, but we're going to focus on the Karban Tamid because that's what Shemoneh Esrei is built on. The first part is called Avodas Hadam, all the different parts of things having to do with the blood. So the highlight of that is the Zrikas Hadam, which is the sprinkling of the blood towards the Mizbeach or onto the side of the Mizbeach. But before that, you had Shechita, right? You shechted the animal. You did Kabbalah. You received the blood into some sort of a basin. And Halacha, you walked that bowl of blood or that cup of blood towards the Mizbeach, and then you would sprinkle the blood. So all those four parts, the Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, and the Zrika, are all called Avodas Hadam. So Hirsch says all of that is part one, which we're going to soon see the parallel is going to be the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, and we'll explain soon. What the blood is about, what it symbolizes is, it's the nefesh, the soul, being given up to Hashem. The nefesh is given up, that's the Shechita, it's accepted, put into a bowl, brought up close, that's the Halacha, and then thrown up to the Mizbeach, symbolizing the endeavor of the human soul to devote itself entirely to God's will and to soar upward to the high altar of its own divine mission. Every neshama, and here we're talking about the collective soul of Klal Yisrael represented in the Karban Tamid, Every neshama has this mission, and Klal Yisrael has its national mission. The soul is collected, the emotional and the, maybe deeper than the emotions, the core of Klal Yisrael is represented here, being prepared to give it all up. That's the life force through the blood, and to elevate it up to some higher purpose represented by the Mizbeach. We'll soon talk about what happens with the fire on the Mizbeach. That's coming up in the next part. The second part of every carbon is Haktaras Evarim. It's the burning of the limbs, but before that, you have all the parts that happen to get to that point, which is Hefshet, Nituach, and Halachas Evarim Lekevesh. It's the skinning of the animal. It's the cutting it up into the various parts and delivering it up the ramp, all the different limbs up to the ramp, before you then do Haktar, which is the throwing the limbs on for it to be burned. So all of these things, basically taking the body, the physical body, and the other parts of the animal, certain other parts which are the deep insides, and some of them represent the deepest emotions, the kloyos, and other parts. Hirsch has his whole clear about that in Vayikra. So all of this, the body that's burned, or the parts of the body, and the preparation getting to that point, he says symbolizes the preparation, the offering, and the session, the giving up of all internal and external organs of intellectual, moral, and physical activity to the fire, which is a symbol of the law of God. We've talked about this a few times before. Eish das, the top of the Mizbech, Eish das, is this fire of the law. This fire represents Hashem through his Torah giving mankind its direction. And this is the place where Hashem is found the most, is through living by his Torah. At the top of this Mizbech, which is up top, it's that which we are to aspire to. So there's this fire representing the fire of the Kedusha and the life force of the Torah in this world. So the fuel for that fire is represented by us being prepared to live by it. That's the emotional and the physical and the moral dedication to living by this law. So that's all the limbs and all the symbolism of all the parts that are burned are all of this. Again, it's the internal and external organs of intellectual, moral, and physical activity to that fire. So dedicating ourselves, and we are, Klal Yisrael and individuals bringing Kavanos, we are the fuel for that fire. The fuel meaning that which keeps the Eish HaTorah burning, and the Eish HaTorah meaning Hashem's giving direction to this world through his Torah. So we keep that fire going through our commitment to it. I'll just read the rest of those words here. So that by fulfilling the task set by the law, by the Torah, they may nourish and nurture all that is divine on earth. And he says that's the logical inference from the preceding act of Avodas Hadam. If once you've committed your emotions and all your whole soul to Hashem, so the next thing is to do something about it. So live by it, which is symbolized the consecration of the soul itself. Minchas, okay. Mincha unesachim. So mincha unesachim is the third part of all karbanos. So that's flour, oil, and wine. There's some flour offering that's burned on the mizbech, and there's other liquids, a wine that's poured down other than sukkos, which is water, the separate pipe, but there's a pipe in the corner of the top of the Mizbeach, and it's poured down the Mizbeach, wine. So this is a tribute of flour, oil, and wine, which was part of every carbon olo. So this symbolizes, by the flour, it's a thanksgiving for sustenance. Flour, right, that's the main thing we live by, is the food, flour, sustenance. Oil is already extra, that represents wealth. And the wine represents the joy that's granted to us by God. So again, Mincha Nesachim, that's going to be the last part. That's going to be the last three brachas, which is the thanks. That's Modim, which is a central feature of the last part of Shemana Esrei, is the thanks offering brought by the Mincha Nesachim. Again, symbolic demonstration of thanksgiving for sustenance. That's the flour. Wealth is the oil. And the wine represents the joy and the simchas achayim that we have from all the gifts of Hashem. The middle part, obviously, the dedication of all of the physical parts and the internal and external, intellectual, moral, and physical, that's all the work of the Shemona Esrei. That's when we're asking Hashem for things. And as we've explained already many times, the word baruch at the end of every bracha really tells you what a bracha is all about. That all these things we're asking for is really an act of deep thinking about what it is that I want from Hashem and what am I going to do about it if I get it. So it's all of that deep work of giving your deepest parts up to Hashem. So it's a very beautiful parable. Just to summarize again quickly, so the first part of every karban, avodas Adam, is giving up your soul to Hashem and striving upwards to the height of the mizbeach. And that's the soul. And that's going to be parallel to the first three brachas of Shemona Esrei. The whole middle section, which is the burning of the Eivarim and getting them ready, is all the internal and external parts, emotional, intellectual, physical activity, being dedicated to Avodas Hashem, being prepared to be the fuel for that fire. That's all the deep thought that goes through every bracha we make. When we ask for something, it's the commitment to live up to that. And the last three parts of Shemona Esrei, the mincha and the nesachim, is the karban mincha, is all about thanksgiving. The nesachim is the pouring down the wine, which is the thanks for the joy that we have to Hashem. So we'll see how that parallels out. So let's go through some of this. So he says, I'm going to go through some of his overview and then some highlights in some of the brachas quickly. So Avos Gvuros and Kedusha, the first three brachas. So we come before Hashem in these three brachas in order to recall to ourselves the relationship of our nefesh, our soul, our human personality, symbolized by the blood and the carbon, to Hashem, his relation to us, and our task evolving from these relationships. In Gvuros, so the first one, Avos, Magen Avram, so we enter anew with our avos into this bris, which teaches us to view Hashem as the supreme being, who is infinitely exalted and above all things, but also infinitely near to us. Hirsch talks about this by Malki Tzedek. When Malki Tzedek came to meet Avram, so Malki Tzedek talked about Hashem as Kel Elyon. He's Hashem way up there. And Avram also used that term of Hashem, but he added Kone Shemayim V'aretz. That Hashem isn't just way up there, higher than all the other gods that the idolaters give homage to. Malki Tzedek certainly understood that Hashem is a god of all gods. But how much Hashem translates into everyday life, that was a chiddush. Then Malki Tzedek didn't have the chutzpah to tell the people around him. They couldn't deal with that. Until Avraham Avinu had won a war against the kings that he had to retrieve a load from. And after that, he gave even Malki Tzedek the confidence to talk about Hashem as Kanish Shemayim V'aretz. Hashem is not just lofty, but he's down here. Fitting in with Hirsch's always theme of Ikar Shechina V'tachtana, that he's not just some lofty God, but he's down here on earth, always expecting us to relate to him. The next bracha, Mechayim Eis, we realize Hashem's endless power, and that we're talking about who Hashem is. So we're getting our minds straight as to our souls, like we said, these first three are getting our soul aligned with Hashem. So first we're hearing, who is Hashem? He's both infinite and down on earth. He's all-powerful. Hashem is Kadosh. We must sanctify ourselves, not just that Hashem is Kadosh, but we must sanctify God through the moral hallowing of our own personalities. So without much delay, I'll just read you very briefly in Parshas Kedoshim, the end of the Pasuk there, right in the beginning of Kedoshim. So the Pasuk says, Dabrel kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'matalem, Kedoshim to you, you should be holy, ki kadosh ani Hashem elokeichem, because I am holy, Hashem your God. So Hirsch just writes there on that Pasuk, and he has another place on the Pasuk of his Kaddishtam, a similar thing. You can and must be holy because kadosh ani elokeichem, because I, who am Hashem elokeichem, am kadosh. The Kedusha to which you must aspire is in its absolute true sense an attribute of my essence. And as Hashem, I have breathed into you my breath and endowed you with a share of my freedom, I continually strengthen you and assist you to do what is good. Because Kadosh Ani Hashem, you are able to attain Kedusha. What is more, Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I who give you this ability for Kedusha, I'm also Elokeichem. I direct your fate and wish to guide your actions. I command you to attain Kedusha. And I hinge your fate on your fulfillment of this duty. Because Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, you are commanded to attain Kedusha. So that's a lot to live up to. But that's what Hashem expects of Klal Yisrael. So again, the first step in Shemoneh Esrei is the soul getting its bearings straight as we approach Hashem in the next part, which is all of the emotional work of connecting and thinking about what we're going to do in our lives. But first, what is Hashem and what's my relationship with Hashem? That's these first three things get set the record straight. So we learn that Hashem is, he's above the Shemayim, the Eretz, he's all powerful, and he's Kadosh and Kedusha. We've talked about in various ways. It certainly means we're distinct and we are dedicated. It does. Hirsch often doesn't talk about this, what maybe is some Kabbalistic Kala type, which is really non-tangible, but it's really just like Hashem's Ratzon is pure. So we're supposed to, as much as possible, strive for dedicating all of our ambitions towards the Ratzon Hashem. I guess that's a simple way to define Kedusha. As best as possible, dedicate ourselves to the Ratzon Hashem. That's Kedusha. Then he says the next 13 intermediate brachas. So, like we said, they're all connected to this, our dutiful, proper use of all the material possessions and of all the intellectual and spiritual values which Hashem and Hashem alone can grant us. And very briefly, just to get the overview, so he says that, of course, they have insight. That's the bracha of Das, Chonin Das. Tshuva and Slicha. Those are prerequisites. Before you even talk about asking for anything, you have to have your house in order. You got to be straight. So you got to think straight. You have to have your brain on straight. Because until you can think straight, you don't really have a moral compass. And once you have your head on straight, you start realizing, well, how can I approach God until I'm square with Him? Now that I'm thinking straight and a little bit clearer. So we're working on the tshuva, and then we ask, now that I think I'm striving towards tshuva, we ask Hashem to let us move on past our tshuva. So that's, you'll see in a minute that that's not going to be repeated. Those three are very personal. And even though we said it's Keneged Tamid, which is a covenant of all Klal Yisrael, but as every individual is davening, these are very private thoughts, which a nation's going to need too, Hirsch is going to say. But in the structure of Shemoneh Esrei, these three, again, our intellect and our tshuva, are very private matters, and they're not going to be repeated in the second part of the Bakashos, which is the middle part. The next three are Geula, Refua, and Parnasa. So we ask for Gol Yisrael, and Refa'enu, and Baruch Aleinu. So again, Geula, Refua, and Parnasa. These last three, Geula, Refua, and Parnasa, are repeated again. But this time, when they're repeated for the community. How so? Well, we talked about Geula for ourselves, Riva Rivenu, right? Goel Yisrael, that you fight our own personal battles. Well, the Geula for Klal Yisrael is the bracha of Mekabel Simcha Yisrael. We ask for Kibbutz Goliath to gather us back into Eretz Yisrael. Now, he says when it comes to Refua, this is interesting, that's getting our leadership back in shape. Because right now, he says, our leadership, you need to be Hirsch to say things like this. Let me read you what he says on that bracha. Hold on a second. Refa'inu, hold on, yeah, here it is. Listen to this. Only he could say these words. I wouldn't have the chutzpah to say this. He says, as long as the Jewish people is in exile, it will lack the benefit of leadership to be provided by such judges and counselors. Because we need real champions of truth. Its members, scattered throughout the world, are exposed to corrosive influences which lead them to stray from the paths of Jewish truth and Jewish salvation. He's talking about all Jewish leaders throughout our exile. They're somehow corrupted by their environment. This results in a state of affairs that cannot be justified before God's judgment seat and that fills every Jewish heart with sorrow and sadness. Pretty powerful words. He's talking about Jewish leaders. I don't know, maybe some Jewish leaders, not all, I don't know. But that's why he says this is a parallel. We're asking for a refuah. And part of our sickness is that our leadership is sick. Unbelievable. That's what Hirsch says. And the next bracha, which is tacked onto that, was obviously because there was a need. There were people who, these early Christians, who infiltrated into the yeshivas, and the Lamashim Ati Sikva was also the influence, which is an illness within our own ranks, that was corrupting our own B'nai Torah. And we, one of the things I once read somewhere, and Hirsch doesn't mention this, but I saw it somewhere, we wanted to have this bracha inserted because those people who were trying to, in a sneaky way, make believe they were part of us, and they were putting on the cloak as if they were part of us, if they would be the Shliach Tzibur and they got to this bracha, we'd see them stammering, very uncomfortable with the bracha. We can identify who are the bad guys. Obviously, this bracha was inserted because we had an internal illness that we were trying to clean out. So that's the refuah part. Then the bracha part, it's unclear to me whether he only means ala tzadikim or everything that follows in this third section. But certainly he says by ala tzadikim that that's the refuah, because we're asking Hashem to preserve and strengthen the elements that constitute the spiritual and moral sustenance of the Jewish national body, namely the tzadikim, the chassidim, the zakenim, and the seferim, and the geriat tzedek. So this is not physical sustenance, but apparently as a nation, what we call sustenance is our spiritual and our moral sustenance. So he says again, that's the structure here. That we're talking first our personal stuff, we're talking about our chachma and our slicha, when we come clean with Hashem. But then these three, there's a sequence. Again, we talked about privately our own geula from our own tzaras, our own refuah, and our own parnasa, and then for the, as a public, we talked about the national geula, Gol Yisrael, then we talked about the refuah of our leadership and the malshinim to be cleaned out of the system, and parnasa, well, not quite parnasa, but it's the sustenance, so we should have our, that our tzaddikim and our chassidim should thrive, which is our moral sustenance. Now, I'm a little confused what happens next with the Yerushalayim Ircha, and how he understands it, whether this, like I said, is a continuation, or is it just a natural extension of asking for the things to be good, if we're already asking for that, we're asking ready for the end of days, now we continue by talking about Yerushalayim and the Geula to come with Tzemach David. He's not really clear about that, and maybe just more bracha, that let it all play out in its best way. Shema Koleinu, he says, that even during the time of the Avodas of the Karbanis, Tefillah was always the core of everything. So if we're already bringing a mention about Karbanis, we would never not have Tefillah. There's a pasuk that says even on one day when Mashiach comes, V'Haviyosim, you just learned this the other day, Rav Moshe. V'Haviyosim el ha-kachi, V'Simachtim v'Veis Tefillasi. So even when we talk about, we're going to come back to the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be called Beis Tefillasi, the house of Tefillah. Even when Mashiach comes, it'll be Karbanis, it's the house of Tefillah, because Tefillah is always, it's really, he says, the same thing that goes on in Karbanis, like we're showing the parallel, is really what Tefillah is all about. So, moving quicker, the last part we already spoke about somewhat, so the Ritzei, so at the heart of this group, this is interesting, this is really interesting. The heart of this, these last three, as we said, the Minchas Nesachim, which is Mincha Unesachim, which is really about thanks, but really there's only one bracha about thanks in these three. First is Ritzei, which talks about the Avodah of the Kavanis, and the last one is Sim Shalom, or Shalom Up, which is about peace. But yet we, he said it's the parallel to Hodah. So what's going on with that? So he says that the Modem Anachno Lach is the core, is the center of the last part. However, as we see by Aaron HaKohen, that to understand where Sim Shalom and Ritzei are at the end. So if you go to the Parshas Naso, you'll see the following pasuk. No, that wasn't what I wanted. Hold on, wrong pasuk. But here he has the other pasuk, I see. So in Vayikra, there's another place where we see that together with Aaron doing the Avodah, he also then gave them a bracha. That's in Vayikra Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Beis, and then here he talks about the bracha of Brichas Kohanim. But the pasuk that I just wanted to mention briefly is Vayisa Aaronus Yadav Elohim Vayavarchim Vayerid Me'asos Hachatos Ve'ela Ve'ashlamim. So after Aaron finished the Avodah, he gave him Brichas Kohanim. The Sim Shalom is connected to Brichos Kahanim. They're all related to each other. So we see there's a bridge between Avoda and Shalom. But there's an understanding that after Avoda, it's the natural thing that results from Avoda is Hodah, is thanks. So I struggled with this, and I think I finally got pshat. So let me just read you what he says here. So he says, the Hodah is followed by the prayer for Shalom. First we got Ritzei, then we have Hodah. All right, so Ritzei is, you should want our Avodah, our Kabbanis and our personal Avodah, today replaced by Tefillah, replaced with Tefillah, but then thanks, and then Sim Shalom. So he says, Hodah is followed by the prayer for Shalom, peace, which, as the sages put it, is the Kli HaMachzik Bracha, it's the vessel that contains all of life's blessings. Then he adds, the order in which these three concluding brachas are arranged expresses a most profound thought. The bracha for Shalom does not come first, but last of all. Now, even as there can be no Hodah without Avodah, there can be no thanks without Avodah, which we need to explain, so too, without both Hodah and Avodah, without both thanks and Avodah, there can be no Shalom. Our Shalom can have value for our people only if it's attained through united thanksgiving and united devotion, that's Avodah, to the service of God's mitzvos. And any kind of thanksgiving that is not preceded by a pledge of devotion, in other words, Avodah, I would say, to that service is nothing but blasphemy. Sometimes you feel that Hirsch is talking to people in his generation. He's giving them a strong slap in the face. I think he's referring here to those people in his time that started having shuls, and they were singing all these beautiful songs, and they probably had it say in there, and then they go home and they drive home from shul. So committing to Avodah when you're not committing to Avodah is an empty promise. I don't know if they said Ritzei or not, but his point, I think, was without a true commitment to do something, what are you thanking? Because what does Ritzei really mean? Ritzei means be happy with our commitments. That's what we're asking Hashem. The Avodah that we're committing to, accept it. And then we thank you. Now, what does Hodah mean? What is just thanks? So he says that the word Hodah, the translation of the word Hodah, comes from the word Yad, comes from the word hand. He said the shorush of that is Yud Dalet Hey, from which we also derive the word Yad, hand. And Modim or Hodah actually means to give God one's hand. That's what Hodah is. It doesn't just mean say thank you. It means you're committing to something because you're all in. You realize what you got is to be given back. That is, to devote all the activities of our lives to the fulfillment of God's will. And he has somewhere a pasuk in Yeshayo, to be part of Israel means to sign our hand over to God, Yikasav Yado Hashem uVeshem Yisrael Yikana. He says, you're called Kri Yisrael if you give your hand over to Hashem, if you commit to do what Hashem wants. So I think that's what he means, that if you want to say that you're thanking Hashem, if thanking really means what it's supposed to mean, it means you're committing to something. Well, if he didn't really commit to anything, if there was no Ritzei, then what kind of commitment was that? And then the Shalom can be, if there's a unified understanding, that it's not just going to be nice to get bracha, but the Shalom is a result of this dedication. That's true Shalom. Any other Shalom that you get without that dedication is empty. And he says, as a tzibur, we have a right to celebrate our hard work and our striving towards that. And then soaking it in and realizing Hashem is showering us with something, we thank Him once we realize we maybe deserve something. So there is a thanks. It's not just a commitment, but it's an acknowledgement that something from our giving is what we received. I just want to share with you one last thing, and then we'll call it a night. Imodim, Erev Aboker V'Tzoharoyim, Hirsch has a chiddush there. It was the first time I thought about it like this. I usually thought, Erev Aboker V'Tzoharoyim, it's talking about all the niflos that Hashem does, right? Al nisecha, shebachal yamanu, your miracles are with us every day. Down the filosecha, betavasecha, shebachal eis, your miracles are with us every moment. Erev avokav etzorem. You know how many moments? all the time, nighttime, morning, and afternoon. That's how many times we get your miracles. Hesed, don't read it that way. You know what is going on? It's going on the first part of of Modim. He says, the phrase Erev Lachat Zorim doesn't refer to the wondrous deeds and favors, but to no delecha. No delecha nisapeti lo secha. We are going to commit ourselves to thank you for all these things, because it's Erev Avokat Zorim. So he says it's all these things are happening, whether it's Erev, whether our lives are feeling like night, or whether we're getting Hashem smiling down, or something in the middle. There's all these things going on in life, and sometimes it's not always so great. And that's why we finish and we commit no matter what's going on. No delecha, and that's where it says Hatov ki lachol rachamecha, even when things are rough. But we realize you have rachmanis on us. Hamerachim. And the reason why is because kilo samach hasadecha. So we me'olam kivin alecha. So even when it's hard, we're thanking you for the hardship. Otherwise, we're just saying weird poetry that doesn't seem to fit. What are we talking about rachmanis? We're just thanking Hashem for all the great stuff. So this makes sense now. So we realize there's going to be niflos, things that we don't even know are going on to protect us that are happening behind the scenes. But even the things that we think superficially are problematic, we recognize that it's all tov, that it's all rachmanis, similar to what we said by Ashrei.